Well, hello there. This is Lon, and welcome to Live with Lon. We're so glad that you're with us today, and I want to wish you a happy Advent season, a very meaningful Advent season, and a very soon Christmas. Wow, hard to believe how quick Christmas is upon us, and I hope that you and your family have a blessed Christmas indeed. We are studying the Bible here at Live with Lon. Remember, what do we study? Tell me. Come on now. Say it with me. The Bible. Come on. The whole Bible. Nothing but the Bible. And then we apply it to our life. And that's what we're going to do today. So, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, open our hearts and our spirits that we might understand and comprehend your word. Lord, spiritual truth can only be spiritually comprehended, you tell us in the Bible, and that can only happen when the Holy Spirit is opening our spirit and giving us illumination and understanding. So, Lord, do that today and impact our lives with your word. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, what? Come on. Amen. And what? Amen. You got it. Okay. We are in John chapter 9. What a wonderful chapter. And we're not hurrying through it because it's just such an amazing chapter of scripture. And let's go back and review. We saw in John chapter 9, the chapter begins when Jesus comes across a man who was born blind, and he spits on the ground, makes mud out of the spittle, puts it in the man's eyes, and says, go wash at the pool of Siloam. And the man did it as an act of faith, because he had to get someone somehow to help him to get there. And the Bible says he washed and he came up seeing. So, the rabbis were very interested in this miracle, and they questioned this man. And he told them exactly what happened. Jesus did this, and I went and washed, and I came out seeing. But the rabbis didn't believe that he was telling the truth. Well, friends, they didn't want to believe that he was telling the truth. They didn't want to believe in Jesus. And so they called his parents in. And we saw this last week. And they said to his parents, is this your son whom you say was born blind, and how does he see? And the parents said, this is our son who was born blind. Yeah, but how he sees, we don't know. Ask him. Because, as the Bible says, the rabbis had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be thrown out of their synagogue. And since the synagogue was the center of Jewish life and Jewish community and Jewish friendships and relationships and everything, these people didn't want to, the parents, that cared more about the approval and the popularity and the advantages of being popular with people than they cared about the approval of God. That's where we were last week. And so now we want to pick up as the rabbis go back and question the man for a second time. So here we go, John chapter 9, New King James Bible, version of the Bible. Okay, and we're in John chapter 9, verse 24. Then they, that is the rabbis, again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the praise. We know that this man, capital M, talking about Jesus, is a sinner. They call this man in and they say, you need to give God the praise. This guy, Jesus, he's a sinner. He's not God. By implication. So what's the man going to say? I love it. I love it. I love it one of the greatest verses in the Bible, friends. And the man said, look at this, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. You guys, with all your fancy theology, you're defining him as a sinner for whatever reasons you've got, and I don't really know. I'm not theologically trained. I didn't go to yeshiva. I didn't sit under Rabbi Gamaliel like the Apostle Paul mentioned he did. I don't know about all of that, he says, but look what he says. He said, but one thing I do know, there is one thing I do know, and that is, though once I was blind, now I see. Ah, I love this. I love the guy. He goes, hey, all your theological issues and all your rigmarole, I don't know about that, but I know this. Once I was blind, and now I see. That I know. Isn't that wonderful? Once I was blind, but now I see. I know that for certain. Now, that's as far as we're going to go in our chapter. You're like, what? We only did two verses. That's right. But we did two of the greatest verses in the New Testament. This man's a sinner. Well, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But I know this. Once I was blind, now I see because of this man. Wow. That's powerful, my friends. That is powerful. And we're going to talk about why right now when we ask our most important question. You know what it is? Come on, you know what it is. Say it with me. One, two, three. So what? Yes. And, you know, I was watching a clip of Jackie Gleason this week, and I realized that he said how sweet it is just a tiny bit different than I say it, because I emphasize sweet and stretch it out, how sweet it is. He didn't do it exactly that way. He went, how sweet it is. So he did it a little different. So we're going to do it Jackie's way today. Remember, I'll say it one more time because it's a little different than mine, how sweet it is. So that's what we're going to say. Say it with me. One, two, three, how sweet it is. Yeah, you can say it either way. Doesn't matter. It's the same thing. How sweet it is, baby, to be studying the Word of God and taking in the Word of God and letting it impact our hearts. How sweet it is. Now, what's the not a sermon, just a thought? What's the takeaway from these two verses today? Well, the takeaway is that this man said, I don't know about all your theology, but I know what Jesus has done in my life. You understand? Let me repeat that. I don't know about all your theological issues, but I know what Jesus has done in my life, and I'm sticking with him. And I want to show you the next couple verses, even though we're not going to really talk about them. Look at it. He said, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. And then they said to him again, how did he do this to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered them, and this is what he said, I've already told you, and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Or some versions translated, do you want to become his disciples too? Also, well, this makes it clear that this man, the blind man, had committed his life to Christ, had decided he was becoming a disciple and a follower of Jesus, right? So he said, look, I'm giving my life to Jesus, and I'm following him, and if all of your theology says he's a sinner, well, I don't really care about that, because one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see, I'm sticking with him. All your theology never healed me of my blindness. I'm sticking with him. Now, friends, this is how it is when we come to Christ. Especially when we're young in the faith. When we're young in the faith and people challenge our faith and they give us all these Bible stumpers to try to trip us up and undermine and cause us to question our faith, we need to remember what this man said. Now, I remember when I first came to Christ in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, that there were a number of my friends, drug buddies, old girlfriends, fraternity brothers, who tried to do that very thing to me. And I didn't know any theology to speak of. I had not been to seminary. Most of the Bible stumpers they threw at me, in fact, all of them, I can answer now. I understand what the issues are and how to defend the Bible in those areas. But I didn't understand all of that when I was a month old in the Lord. You know, I remember one guy, and I think I told you this. I passed him on the street. He was an old drug buddy. And he said, "I hear you believe in Jesus." I said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "Well, look at the end of Peter's letter where he says, grow in grace." He says, "How can you grow in grace? Grace is a thing. How can you grow in grace?" Oh, no. I didn't even know that was in Peter. I hadn't gotten that far in the New Testament yet. I was still making my way out of the Gospels in the book of Acts. I looked it up, made sure it was really in there. It was. And I'm like, I don't know what the answer is to that question. But folks, one thing I knew, whereas once I was blind, now I see. And so regardless of these Bible stumpers that these folks threw at me, and regardless of all these reasons that they presented to me why I should not believe in Jesus, it rolled off my back like water off a duck's back. Why? Because I knew that I knew that I knew that Jesus Christ had changed me on the inside and come into my life. You say, how do you know that? How did you know that? Two ways. Number one, and I want you to remember this, I had the indwelling, the internal witness of the Holy Spirit. Internal. He was inside of me. He was indwelling me. Now look what the Bible says about that. First, John 14:17. Jesus says, talking about the Spirit of truth, he says, "For he dwells with you and he will be in you." Then we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And then we go to Romans chapter 8. What a wonderful chapter. And look what the Bible says. Romans chapter 8. And look with me at verse 11. It says, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies by his Spirit who dwells," look at this, "in you." Look back up at verse 9. "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells," look at this, "in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." He's not Christ. He doesn't belong to Christ. He's not a child of God, or she. He is none of his, as the old King James will say. Friends, the Bible says when we come to Christ, if we have true saving faith, number one, we have the internal presence of the Holy Spirit bearing witness to us that we belong to Jesus and that we're truly saved. Now, the second thing is we have not just the internal presence of the Spirit, but we have the internal witness of that indwelling Spirit. Look right here in Romans chapter 8, one of the greatest verses in the Bible. It says, the Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit, testifies to our spirit. When? Every moment of every day. Where? On the inside of us. How? I don't know. He does. He just does. He bears witness. He testifies to us that we are the children of God. We have that internal witness of the Holy Spirit. Not just his presence, but his witness. This is why the blind man said, once I was blind, but now I see. And he didn't just mean physically seeing. He meant spiritually seeing. Suddenly when I came to Christ, I saw God everywhere where before I never saw him at all. Suddenly I saw things differently because of the indwelling witness of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I love what the disciples say in the end of John chapter 6. Many people were leaving Jesus and they were being scandalized by what he was saying. And Jesus turned to the 12, verse 67, John 6, 67, and said, do you also want to go away? Now watch. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. There was an internal witness inside of these 12 disciples, or at least 11 of them, not Judas maybe, saying, Jesus, this is real. That was the Holy Spirit bearing internal witness. So we have the internal presence of the Spirit that makes us know that we're different than we were before, and the internal witness of the Spirit bearing witness to our spirit that we are now children of God, we belong to Christ. And those two things working together means that we know that we know that we know that we were once blind, but now we see spiritually. Now, folks, this is really important because if you've got true saving faith, then you know that you know that you know that you belong to Christ. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you bearing witness with your spirit supernaturally, spiritually, that you belong to God and you're a child of God. And there is no one who could ever talk you out of it. There is no reasoning that can ever convince you different. There are no Bible stumpers that anybody can give you that will cause you to say you don't belong to Christ. You may not be able to answer the Bible stumper, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. You know that you know that you know that you are saved. You know that you know that you know that you're a child of God. You know that you know that you know that you belong to Christ and he belongs to you, and that your sins are forgiven and that you're on your way to heaven, and you know that you know that you know. And nothing in this universe will ever convince you differently. Now, I still have that 51 years later. Yeah. To this day, there are things I don't understand. Maybe somebody can bring up a verse in the Bible that I can't fully explain. Maybe some scientific discovery can be thrown at me that I can't somehow perfectly fit in with witness of the Scripture and what the Scripture says. I don't care. I don't care. I don't. God, you know what? God never called us to be able to answer every question in the universe, my friends. That's not your job. If there's a question somebody throws at you, you can't answer. Who cares? God never called you to answer every question in the universe. Don't worry about it. But regardless of the fact I may not be able to answer it, I know that I know that I know that I belong to Jesus, and that my faith is saving faith, and that he lives inside of me, and that he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, as the wonderful hymn says. And some people will look at you and accuse you of being arrogant if you say that you know that you know that you know you belong to the Lord. But, hey, there's no arrogance about it. It's just the way it is. Let me read to you 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. Well, I don't even read to you. I know them by heart. It says, and this is the witness that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Verse 12, he who has the Son has this eternal life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Verse 13, these things I write to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Watch, if this is you, watch, that you may, K-N-O-W, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may know that you belong to Jesus, that you may know that you're saved, that you may know that you're a child of God, that you may know that once you were blind, but now you see, that you may know these things, and that you might continue to believe in Christ. I'll close with a quick story. I've been to Israel now. I've had the privilege of leading 57 tours to the Holy Land, just to the Holy Land. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord. When I led the first one in 1987, I had no idea that maybe I'd even go a second time. And look what God has done. I've had the chance to take all of my boys. And now I'm in the process of taking my grandchildren. I make my son come along with his child because I don't have time to manage them while I'm running the tour. But what a privilege now to be taking my grandchildren. I just took two of them this past fall, in the fall of 2022. I took my son John and his oldest daughter Natalie and his middle child Catherine. What a privilege, baptizing them in the Jordan River. Oh my gosh. I've taken my oldest grandson, Tyler. I've taken my oldest granddaughter, Mia. I'm making my way through here. And a number of years ago, 20, 25 years ago, we were entering through the border down in the southern part of Israel, the Taba, T-A-B-A, border. And I had a Hebrew Bible with me, and I started sharing Christ with this, one of the guards there, one of the security people there. She was a young lady, maybe in her mid-20s, early to mid-20s, and I had a chance to share with her about the all the prophecies of Christ and the 1 times 10 with 100 zeros probability that they'd all be fulfilled in one person, and on and on and on, and interestingly enough, as we were concluding talking, she turned to me, we were sitting there, and she said, let me just ask you one question. And I said, okay, sure. She said, tell me the truth. She said, tell me the truth. Don't you ever doubt? I mean, sometimes, don't you ever doubt that maybe this is wrong? That maybe Jesus is not the Messiah, that maybe believing on what he did on the cross for you did not forgive your sins, that maybe you're not saved from an eternity in hell. She said, don't you ever wonder? And I looked right at her in the eyes. Brenda taught me this. You know that. She would look me in the eyes. And I said, never. Why? I've got 1 John 5:13. God wrote me these things in the Bible so I can know. K-N-O-W. I said, no, never. And she said, how can you never doubt? I said, well, first of all, I've got 30 messianic prophecies and 1 times 10 with 100 zeros probability on my side. But I said, second of all, because what he's done inside of me, I know that I know that I know that I'm following the true and living way to God. Once I was blind, but now I see. Friends, I hope you know that. If you really know Christ, you know that you know that you know. There's an internal witness of the Holy Spirit that nobody can talk you out of believing in Jesus. You will say, I may not know the answer to that, but it doesn't make a bit of difference. You can't, you'll never talk me out of believing in Jesus. And if you don't have that, then internal witness of the Spirit, remember what Romans chapter 8, verse 9 said. It said, if a person doesn't have the Spirit, he is none of his. He doesn't belong to Christ. She doesn't belong to Christ. Friends, if you don't have that internal witness that you know, that you know, that you know, I think you should examine your faith and make sure that you've really got the real McCoy, that you've really trusted Christ. Because people who are really saved, they know that they know that they know because of the witness of the Spirit. One of the greatest Christmas gifts you can give yourself this year is if you're not certain to come to Christ and know that you know that you know. Let's pray. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you don't know that you know that you know, then I want you, if you're really sincere, I want you to pray this salvation prayer with me. One phrase at a time. You ready? Here we go. Lord Jesus, I come to you today because I want the salvation that brings the Holy Spirit to live inside of me with his internal witness that I'm a child of God. And I want to know that I know that I know that I'm saved and born again and that I have eternal life and that I'm headed for heaven. So today, I give up everything I've ever trusted to get me into heaven and to earn me eternal life. And instead, I embrace what you did, Jesus, on the cross for me, shedding your blood to pay for my sin. I embrace that as my one and only, exclusive plan to get into heaven and to have eternal life. Lord Jesus, put the Holy Spirit in my heart right now. May suddenly on the inside there be a witness that's never been there before, that something supernatural has happened to me, that the God of the universe did inside of me, so that I know that I know that I know I belong to Christ for all of eternity. I give my life to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, folks, I hope Jesus is burning in your heart right now as you listen to this. Maybe you've been saved 50 years like me, but I still got him burning in my heart. And thank God that we can know that we know that we know. And may that form the foundation of your life, the foundation of your eternal destiny and your hope of heaven. And may it form the foundation for a wonderful Christmas season this year. God bless you, and look forward to seeing you next week again on Live with Lonnie.